Jeff Streit from Logansport, Indiana, shared the following illustration. Once upon a time, and of course that's the way all good stories begin, a group of people agreed that they should spend each Sunday in the presence of one another. And many were not satisfied with the 2 or 3 hours spent on Sunday each week, but they also came together each Saturday for several additional hours of fellowship. They didn't count the minutes. Rather, with great conviction, they said, "We've come for a purpose, and we will not leave until that purpose has been accomplished, even if it takes all day." And then at the end of the day, they cheerfully pledged to return the next week. Their commitment was something to marvel. It wasn't a passing fancy that was affected by the weather. They met spring and fall and summer and winter. When the spring rains came and when the fall's chill was in the air, other people might be heard to say, "The weather kept me at home. I was unable to be there," but not these souls. Their sacrifices involved more than just time. They gave of their money because their hearts were very much involved in their weekly gathering. Many came from a fair distance, and they would part with significant amounts of cold, hard cash, for that seemed worthy of their attention. Sometimes they would disagree with one another, as humans are prone to do. Sometimes they spoke to one another in a less than courteous way, and yet they returned week after week, for their purpose for assembling was far greater than their personal likes and dislikes. Their persistence knew no bounds. Often their numbers were so large there was not suitable convenient parking and they had to walk in traffic to reach their destination. Their faithfulness was something to behold. It was so very obvious that Walmart was a very important part of their lives. Bet you thought I was talking about church there for a moment, didn't you? Well, the reason that would have seemed so logical to you because that's what a church is supposed to be like. A true church is supposed to be dedicated to fellowshipping with one another. And that's why the following words would have struck home. Many were not satisfied with 2 or 3 hours a week, but they came together Saturday for several more hours of fellowship. These folks enjoyed being together. They liked it so much that one day was just not enough. Even when they didn't like each other as much as they should, they still committed themselves to gathering together because their purpose outweighed any personal conflict. They fellowshipped. Fellowship is a key component of God's church. It's part of what makes a true church a church, because without fellowship, we don't have very much. As far as God's concerned, church fellowship is essential. It's so important that Acts 2:42 tells us that after those 3,000 folks were baptized into Christ on Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now those four activities, which are doctrine and breaking of bread and prayers and fellowship, were so important to God that God told them to us. He set them up and said, "This is my church. This is what I want you to do." And these things were able to allow them to withstand small disagreements and opposition, and they were even able to withstand persecution and death because they were held together by their commitment to God and their commitment to one another. And that commitment to one another is known as fellowship. Fellowship basically is just hanging out together. It's wanting to be together. Church is not a building. It's not a theater where we come to be entertained. It's not a place where we come to do business. We're the church, not the building. Church is a family. The building is just where we get together for family gatherings. Now, there are some people who say they can be just as good a Christian without being with the church. And that's one of Satan's biggest lies. If we're Christians, we're automatically members of the Lord's church. And the very meaning of church involves a group. Go back to Acts 2:47. Just after the text spoke about fellowship, it adds, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." God himself adds those who are saved to his church. Church membership isn't an option. God expects His people to want to be together. Kevin Miller recently wrote an article in Christianity Today about the original leaders of what was called a few years ago the emerging church. And Miller noted in his article that those leaders have now all left the church and Christianity. Now, 10 years ago, their names were among the most influential in Christianity. They were on all of the major newscasts. They were interviewed. They were in constant demand to speak at lectureships. But the emergent church imploded. It just disintegrated. And one of the reasons why it did so was because these men had a personalized vision of Christianity. They taught there was no point in getting together. Getting together had no purpose. They would come with their lattes and their computers, and they didn't need each other. And they all showed up at first with their computers, but it's absolutely amazing how fast the emergent movement disappeared. One of the former leaders talks about a notable communion he had. And just listen for a moment. He said, "Oh, several of my buddies got together on a road trip, and we had a communion with hot chocolate and cookies, and it was a fantastic bonding. And I haven't seen them since, but maybe we'll get together again." See, for these folks, church was just create your own identity. Create your own individualized religion. Do it yourself. You don't have to be together. But that's a failure to understand what God intended. Church is all about a place to get together. Church is about a place to know and to love and to be loved. And that's what Jesus built His church around. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Now look at that verse very closely. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. And then some of the older versions read, "We will have fellowship with one another." Or another way of saying it is, if we don't have fellowship with one another, we're not walking in the light as He's in the light. If we don't have fellowship with one another, there's something wrong. Let's be honest with ourselves. God made us. God knows what He's doing when He lays down His laws. God understands what makes us tick. God knows what's good for us. And since He knows what's good for us, we need to listen to what He says. Do you know, for example, that the insurance studies show that regular church attendance adds 5.7 years to your life? 5.7 years. God knew what He was doing. We also learn from each other when we come together because we encourage and we challenge one another. Writer of the Hebrew letter says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Folks, when we do church right, we help each other become more and more like Jesus. Years ago, Paul wrote to a very imperfect church in Corinth. But instead of problems, he saw something fantastic. "We all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." There's a part of that little verse that jumps out at me. Glory to glory. Now, it reminds me of someone going up a staircase. And up at the staircase, at the very top, is God. And as we grow closer to Christ, we climb that staircase. And the beauty of true fellowship is that as we climb the staircase, we help others to do the same. Folks, there are some people here in this congregation at Sherrod Avenue who have been members of the Lord's church for decades. And they have been good examples, and they know the ropes, and they've traveled the path. And it's good to have them in this congregation because they can show us the way. They're closer and closer to the top. They've been climbing for a long time. They've seen the problems, and they can help us. And the folks that are further down the stairs, well, Their job is to look up at those who are above them and figure out how they can get closer to Christ. Now you put all that together, and that's fellowship. That's being together, encouraging one another, teaching one another, and sharing with one another. The Greek word for fellowship is just a common Greek word. It's a Greek word for partnerships and for friends being together, and there's nothing dramatically powerful about the word itself, but it's the way God uses that word that should grab our attention. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He used it to describe something that we do every Sunday, communion. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a, and the word for fellowship, koinonia, in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is not it a koinonia in the body of Christ? Both of those terms are translated by different English terms, but they come from the same root Greek concept, sharing and fellowship. And communion is where we have fellowship together with the blood and the body of Christ. Communion is the central focus of our fellowship. And every week when we take communion, it reminds us of Christ's sacrifice, because we wouldn't be here without him. It reminds us of our own sinfulness, because it tells us I'm not better than you are and you're not better than I am. It reminds us of the price God paid for our forgiveness. God so loved the world. It reminds us why we're here. We're not here for our own agendas. We're not here for having things done our way. We're not here to do business. We're here for fellowship, worship and fellowship. We're here to love one another and enjoy being together. And the Lord's Supper is not a frivolous activity. It's not a ritual that we engage in to make ourselves feel better. It's not an interruption of the flow of worship as one megachurch teaches on television. It's a time when we do our deepest fellowship with one another and with Jesus Christ. The church at Corinth was a deeply, deeply divided congregation of God's people. And they had numerous problems. And they were so divided with one another that when they had their potlucks, if you didn't bring a pot, you were out of luck. They didn't even share their food with one another. And Paul was incensed by that, and he wrote, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup, not because they had committed some errant sins during the week, but because they were so hateful of each other. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." We come together when we're here. It's important that we care for one another and love one another. I was reading recently from an article by a man by the name of Tom Lawson. Tom is a member of the Primitive Baptist Church in Keokuk, Virginia. And he writes about a time when he was a child, when he came to the congregation that morning, expecting that that day they would enjoy communion. But an elder from the church got up that morning. He announced that there would be no communion that day. And that was true, even though the communion had been prepared. In fact, everything was laid out on the table in front of the pulpit. Everyone could see it. But that Sunday, the elder said, "The church is not at peace. We will have no communion." Now, in the Primitive Baptist Church that Tom Lawson is a member of, that's especially distressing because they only observe communion once a year. And there would be no communion that Sunday. One of the stipulations for brotherhood was that to celebrate communion, there had to be no known serious unresolved conflicts between members of the church. The rule was this: no peace, no communion. No peace, no communion. It wasn't even an option. And when the elder announced that, the entire congregation, Lawson said, was upset, and folks went home and they prayed seriously, and they visited one another trying to find a solution to the problem. The offended members were called on and they were spoken with, and the next Sunday, Tom says that the congregation gathered, and he described it this way. Two old men stood up from two different pews on the men's side of the little meeting house. No one even whispered. The two walked to the front of the auditorium, walking toward one another. After a brief moment of hesitation, one of them offered his hand to the other, and it morphed into a long embrace. That's the only word for it. Not a friendly hug, but a tightly held embrace as these two weathered old men's shoulders began to heave with great sobs. And the elder declared, "The church is at peace. We will observe communion." Communion is fellowship. It's a time when God's people come together, and it's a time when we love one another and share things with one another and grow together. And it's not an option. In the gray dawn of an April day in 1945 in the Nazi camp at Flossenbürg, a minister by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed by special order of Heinrich Himmler. Himmler was Hitler's chief executioner. Bonhoeffer had been arrested 2 years before, and over that two-year period, he had been transferred from prison to prison to prison, from Tegel to Berlin to Buchenwald to Schönberg, and then finally to Flossenbürg. And in moving Bonhoeffer from place to place, he lost all contact with the outside world. Everyone that he knew was severed from him. He lost, according to his own testimony, the most precious possession he had, and that was fellowship. Bonhoeffer wrote a book that's still in print entitled Life Together, that's based on Psalm 1. He had written that book years before about the richness of fellowship. And then during his imprisonment, leading up to his death, he had lost that fellowship. And this is what he wrote. "The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to one another, a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. How inexhaustible are the riches that open up for those who, by God's will, are privileged to live in the daily fellowship of life with other Christians. Let him who has such a privilege thank God on his knees and declare, 'It is grace, nothing but grace, that we're allowed to live in fellowship with Christian brothers.'" Fellowship is what God's church is all about. True fellowship is spiritual. It's profound. It's essential. It's our very life. In our Lord's Prayer in John 17, he constantly prays that the people who come to him, the elect, the chosen, those who will be saved without doubt throughout all of history, will share that unity. So we in fellowship show our shared eternal life, our shared faith, our shared love, and we shed that to one another. We possess a shared power, the Holy Spirit. We possess, in addition, a shared truth, the revelation of God in Holy Scripture. And we are literally the temple of God. And temples cannot stand if various parts of the temple crumble and are missing. Fellowship is important. The verb to fellowship in the Greek is used 8 times in the New Testament. 7 times it's translated share, because ultimately that's what it means. 1 other time in 2 John verse 11, it's translated participate, a common participation. The noun form is used some 30 times, and it carries the same idea: sharing, contributing, partnership, participation, common cause. God made man in his own image, and God is a relational being. The Godhead is sometimes referred to as a Trinity. It's a relationship. God made us in his image. He made us for relationships, to be together, to care for one another. And fellowship is what makes a church a true church. We have so many different ways here at Sherrod that we enjoy one another's fellowship. We enjoy fellowship when we come together at our dinners in the Life Center. We have times when our small groups get together. It's nice after services to see groups standing around and talking. It is so good to see the different groups just enjoying one another's company. And that's important. That's part of God's church. To really enjoy that fellowship and that unity, you have to be a member of God's church. Because that's what God teaches. And that's what the churches of Christ have pled with people for throughout the centuries. Please, do what is necessary to become a member of this great fellowship. A fellowship that will help you grow and a fellowship that will love. You saw an example of that fellowship this morning. Most of us do not know any of those folks in Louisiana, but you were reaching out because they're part of the fellowship, the broader fellowship. God knew what he was doing, and when you become a Christian, you don't join a church. God adds you to it because that's his intent. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.